I think the Bible speaks very clearly as to when the rapture will happen. It will happen before the tribulation period. The church is not appointed unto wrath. Hey, welcome back to Bible Line. I'm your host, Pastor Jesse Martinez. And in today's video, we're going to talk about pre, mid, and post-tribulationalism. Big words, simple definitions, but it's very important to understand which one does the Bible actually teach. Let's get right into it. So the person who wrote this question in, the question actually has a lot of different things to cover. We're just going to cover the first part of it, and we'll make other answer videos later as we get to those topics. Please explain the difference between pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, and amillennialism. We're not going to be covering the last one today. We're just going to look at those three and how the verses the last three use are out of context. Also, how the books mainly written to the Jews also are meant for us. Again, we're not going to cover those things. We're just going to get into the definition of those three terms because I think there's a lot to unpack there. It is very good to understand the definition of terms, okay? When you hear those terms, we're not going to be able to find them expressly in the Bible. This is based off the root word tribulation. And it's trying to answer this question. When will the rapture happen? Is it going to happen before the tribulation? Is it going to happen in the middle somewhere? Or is it going to happen at the end of the tribulation period? Does the Bible teach anything about it? Well, before we get into that, let's look at the definitions for what they are. So the first one, pre-tribulationalism. This is the eschatological view that the rapture will happen before the tribulation period on the earth. The church will meet the Lord in the air after the resurrection of the believers who have died and gone on before, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. The second term here is mid-tribulationalism, and this is the view that the rapture will happen at the midpoint of the tribulation period, specifically when the seventh trumpet sounds and before the bowl judgments are poured out upon the earth. Then the church will be caught up. The ones who have died before will go, and then those who are alive and remain will be caught up to be with the Lord forevermore. And then there's the final one we're going to talk about today, which is the post-tribulational view. And this is the view that the rapture will happen right before the second coming of the Lord, really right before it or near the very end of the tribulation period. They're going to be raptured before the second coming of Jesus Christ. And mainly in this view, which I think would surprise you, is the most popular view for organized religion today. And by organized religion, I mean Catholics, Lutherans, those types of religions. They believe this view that, then this is the line I want to make sure you understand here, that the church is subject to the wrath that is found in the tribulation period. And don't forget, if this is your first time here on the Bible Line YouTube channel, make sure that you leave a comment, like, and share the video. And if it is the first time you've been here or you've been here before and you've yet to subscribe, make sure you hit that red subscribe button and the notification bell right next to it. When you hit the bell, you'll get a notification every time that we post a new video. If you have a Bible question like this question, this is a very popular question, send it to us, questions@BibleLineMinistries.org. We'll get that email and we will write you a response and try to make a video about it too. So I firmly believe that the Bible teaches a pre-tribulational view of the rapture. And there's really five things that I want to look at in regards to biblical support for that point. The first thing is it's very clear in Scripture, the church is not appointed unto wrath. You can see that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 in verses 9 and 10. Let's look at that on the screen here. For they themselves show us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God. And here's the verse I want to focus on here. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Now, we're not going to look at just that chapter and verse in particular in 1 Thessalonians, but if you look further in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, there's actually a larger portion of Scripture, but I want to focus on one verse, chapter 5 and verse 9, which kind of addresses the common theme of that time is, we've missed the rapture. We've missed it. The Lord's already come back and we've missed it. And the writers here in 1 Thessalonians are trying to communicate to us, no, you haven't missed it. You're going to see these things and understand it. But very important to see, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 9 says this, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you partner that with the famous verses in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 through the end of that chapter, you can see that the church is not going to be subject to that wrath. And there's a greater point that's going to be made there, and I'm going to make that in a moment. The second point is believers will not be overtaken by the day of the Lord. And you can see that in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 through 9. The third thing here, which is an even stronger point, is the Holy Spirit must depart before the Antichrist is revealed. That's in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 in verses 1 through 8. Now, I'll be honest and direct here. This is where a lot of people begin to differ. This is where a lot of people don't understand exactly the order that is listed here in 2 Thessalonians of events and understanding him that letteth will now let until he doesn't anymore. But let's just follow it as it is, verses 1 through 8, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. See, we talked about that earlier. That was a rumor that was going around. They're saying, hey, don't worry. Don't let anybody deceive you, is exactly what's said in verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. And then verses 4, 5, and 6 explain a little bit more about that man of perdition and about the time. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. So there's something that has to happen first before he is revealed. And the he we're talking about here, obviously from verse 4, is the Antichrist. Right here in verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Let here has a different understanding. You can see that directly by how the word is used. It is to restrain, not as we would commonly use it today, but as it's used here in the scripture, it is he who is restraining will strain until he be taken out of the way. And I believe that is a departure of the church. That is a departure of the Holy Spirit, which seals all the believers here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, that happens first, and then the man of sin is revealed. I think it's kind of fruitless for us to try and figure out who the Antichrist is. We're not going to be here when he comes onto the scene. As a matter of fact, as we exit, then he must enter, as this passage teaches here. So that's my third point. But then the really strong point, and this is where I'm basing the whole video, is in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 24. And specifically here, it is clear that the 70 weeks that's talked about in Daniel does not have the church in view at all. We cannot marry those two things together, and I'll talk about that later in the video, but let's look at Daniel 9:24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, Daniel's people, okay? Those are the Jews, upon thy people and upon thy holy city, to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. The purpose of the tribulation period is to pick up after the Messiah had been cut off, which was Jesus Christ dying on the cross. The Jews rejected him. We are now in the age of grace, the dispensation of grace, and this will come to a close when the Lord comes back. And it's important for us to understand here, the church and Israel are not married into these two things. This prophecy in Daniel 9:24, which Jesus talks about in Matthew 24, and Matthew 24 is the most popular passage to talk about the mid-trib and the post-trib idea. This is not talking about the church at all. We're gone out of here. The tribulation period is to finish the transgression that the Messiah was cut off. Now I just want to talk to you, face-to-face, openly here. Eschatology has been used for a long time to throw a lot of people into the limelight. As a matter of fact, people have built multi-million dollar ministries off of their eschatological views. And I'm not that kind of person. I think the Bible speaks very clearly as to when the rapture will happen. It will happen before the tribulation period. The church is not appointed unto wrath. We have to be careful that we're not allowing people who kind of tickle our ears with eschatology to teach us eschatology, but they're not even clear on the gospel. Most of my research, and I'm not saying all of it, but most of my research shows that people who hold the mid and post view are not clear on the gospel. They're either one of two camps. They're in replacement theology, which takes the church and makes it the new spiritual Israel, and it actually replaces physical Israel altogether. There's passages in Jeremiah that teach as if the sun is coming up and the moon and going down, Israel's going to be God's chosen people, period. So, but they don't acknowledge that and teach replacement theology, or they're hyper-dispensationalists. And they say that salvation switches from dispensation to dispensation. It was works under the law, and now it's grace. And then when we go back to the tribulation, it's going to be works again. I mean, Hebrews 10, verses 1 through 4 clearly teaches that none of those things are able to save us. None of those Old Testament sacrifices could save us. Bear with me for a moment as I read that to you. Hebrews 10, 1 through 4. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. So hyper-dispensationalists who say salvation was by works under the law, you've been proven wrong right here. I mean, and it's clear. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? Verse 2, because that the worshippers once purged should have no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance, again, made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. I mean, that is case closed. You can't conclude that any other way. And most people I see who hold to the mid or post-tribulational view are in those two camps. They replace the church, or they replace Israel with the church, or they teach that salvation is going to be by works in the tribulation. Both are heresies, and I reject them. I'll leave you with this closing thought. When I see the gospel incorrect, I automatically put a red flag on that teacher. And here's the reason why. I'm cautious when I listen to their eschatology because, frankly, they have not gotten the most basic doctrine of salvation correct. So the view that I come to, the conclusion I come to, if they're not clear on the simple plan of salvation, what is informing their view of eschatology? Now, it's possible for a person to be unclear on the gospel and correct with eschatology because people can repeat what they've heard confidently. But more often than not, I see people that hold to the mid and to the post view of the rapture are not clear on the gospel to begin with. Above all, I want you to search the scriptures. I've offered you a case here. I want you to look at it in the scripture and come to a conclusion that makes biblical sense. And I think the pre-tribulational view is the one that the Bible supports. All right? Make sure to send us your questions, questions@BibleLineMinistries.org. I hope this has been informative for you and helpful. Until then, keep looking up. Jesus Christ is coming soon.
If you enjoyed today's episode of Bible Line, make sure to subscribe to the channel and share this video with a friend. Do you have a Bible question? Send us an email, questions@BibleLineMinistries.org, and we'll do our best to get you an answer. Or you can leave your question in the comments of this video. Be sure to check the links in the description for more clear Bible teaching. Bible Line is a ministry of Calvary Community Church located in Tampa, Florida.